they would come to that realization that they need a Savior, and Jesus is the only one. And for those that are saved, Lord, I pray that You would just give them a fresh glimpse of the cross of Your love and mercy. Give them direction if they need it. And Father, we'll just be careful to praise You for everything. We thank You for who You are and the things that You have done, the things You're doing now, and the things You're going to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Church, if you'll stand, choir, if you'll stand with me, let's turn over to page number 286. Everyone stand, everyone sing together, the Glory Land Way.
Glory Land Way.
All right, let's sing now.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the Glory Land.
Last verse.
Onward I go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the Glory Land way. Soon I shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the Glory Land way. I'm in the Glory Land way. I'm in.
Seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. And choir, let me just ask if you could possibly be back here with me around 4:45, if we can. I know we got different meetings and things going on. If that turns out not to work very well, is that okay, Pastor? You gonna... Okay. We went over our song this morning, so you meet me here at 5. All right, and we'll be ready. That's why we worked a little ahead this morning. So our choir will be singing just one song tonight. I think the ladies are going to sing a song as well. And it's going to be just a tremendous service. We're so excited about what God is doing here in our church. And we look forward to what God has in store for us as we move forward. We're going to be praying for our guys this evening, CJ and Brian. And the families will be here, I'm sure. And we should have a lot of guests. So we look forward to that. Most of all, we're thankful for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I don't mean the feeling, but I mean the filling. Amen. And we pray the Lord would just fill this place with His presence this day, this morning, as well as this evening in the service. But you come tonight if you can possibly be here. It will be something that you'll want to witness and experience tonight. So but let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the offering as well as the service. Brother David Henderson, would you lead us as we pray?
when my Jesus, Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, upon his face. No one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
song I played a moment ago, what a day that will be. And it will indeed be a glorious day.
Amen.
Are you looking forward to that day?
Amen.
When you see Jesus for the first time, when you meet him, see him for the first time, though you've met him, if you're a child of his,
right.
You met him a long time ago. But can you imagine what it'll be like the very first time we see him face to face? We sing, we used to sing in the church, and on him I stand amazed in the presence. We used to, where I grew up in church, when we sang that hymn, oh how marvelous, oh how wonderful, we would sing it with great robustness. You know, we'd stand up, I stand amazed in the presence. This is loud. I have a sneaking suspicion, though, that when we get there, we won't be quite so robust. Because we're going to kneel in the presence.
Amen.
Of the Most Holy One.
Amen.
We're going to kneel at his feet with nothing to say except only by your grace and by your blood am I here.
Right.
Years ago, I used to travel with a group and sing. And I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of people in my life. But I've never met anyone quite like my Jesus. Have you? It's one of the very first songs that I ever played for my dad to sing. And one of the first songs I ever played for myself to sing in public. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. For he did something that no other friend could do.
Amen.
For you see, all my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. Was full of misery and woe. Then Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take my sin and darkness from. Assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me.
Amen.
Until that day I see his blessed face above. No never care for me like Jesus. There's There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take my sin and darkness from me.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Matthew chapter number 9. Notice if you would, out of Matthew 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Last Sunday morning, we shared a message on when Nathanael met Jesus. And the past couple Wednesdays, minus this past Wednesday, and the Wednesday before that, we were in evangelistic style teachings. We talked about when Zacchaeus met Jesus. We talked about sharing Jesus with others. And this morning I want to stay in that vein if I could. And that is the evangelistic style message. And I want to talk to you about this character Matthew and his conversion. There's something in particular and something very detailed about the life of Matthew. When you follow Matthew and you read after Matthew, you look at his past, his present, you'll find that God had something and God used something very particular in his life for God's glory. And that is his pen. His pen. I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, Matthew's pen. Just simply, the pen of Matthew. Now, you'll find traces of, again, and through his life, where this pen has been in great use. Let me say that there were times in his life, while using this pen, where he didn't know Christ. But yet Matthew was steadily using that pen for his occupation. But then you'll find out in his salvation experience that God had Matthew using that pen for something great. And I want to say to all of us this morning, those watching, I feel like I repeat myself every time that I preach, but we learn by repetition, and that is that God has a purpose for you. God has something He wants you to do. God has a way of turning our mess into a message. He really does. He has that impact on lives. And this morning, I want to share some things from this verse concerning the life of Matthew and concerning his pen and how we can find Matthew steadily used that pen in past and present form. And I hope the message will be a help and a blessing to you. Number one in this verse, verse number 9, Matthew 9, we see Matthew writing taxes. He says in verse number 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And we know the receipt of custom was the toll house, or the booth, if you would, where Matthew would receive the tax payments that came into him. And no doubt these tax payments were recorded. In Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 27, the Bible tells us that he was a publican. We know a publican is a tax collector. His name there in that verse, Luke 5:27, is called Levi. And so we have this man named Matthew, pre-conversion to Christ, collecting taxes as a publican. And on that note, let me say there are two classes of publicans in Bible days. Number one, there were chief publicans, such as Zacchaeus in Luke 19 and verse number 2. He was a chief publican, a chief tax collector. He had people working for him. But then the second class of publicans is the very base publican, and that is the ordinary publicans, Matthew. Matthew was the base tax collector. And so we see that he is at customs. He is collecting taxes. And the publicans could even extort for their own benefit. In fact, they fudged numbers all the time and cooked the books when taxes came in. Very crooked people in society. They were looked down on because of this lack of character in who they were. So we see that they were people who extorted people, took advantage of others in their taxes. And there was Matthew, as they came in, would demand what was owed and pocketed some and fudged the numbers and cooked the books. Matthew writing taxes. These tax collectors were also known as leeches, and were generally dishonest. In fact, you'll find out that when you read Bible history and other books that explain Bible history, you'll find that these tax collectors were not used in the court of law because of how their testimonies were and the kind of people that they were. They could not be trusted. And so this morning, when it comes to Matthew's pen, we see Matthew writing taxes. Matthew, the crooked guy. Matthew, who has no character. Matthew, who is not saved. This is pre-Christ Matthew. And let me say on the same token, we all have a past that has already been written this morning. Each and every one of us, we all have a past. Some of our past are worse than others. Some have pleasant past. But nonetheless, we have a past. And our past have already been written. We cannot change our past. We cannot erase the pen marks that has already been penned in our past. Our past is done. The only thing we can do in our past or from our past and with our past is learn from the past. We can learn from our past, church, because it's already been written and it's already been done. And tonight, or this morning rather, I urge you, as I urged myself, to learn from my past. Learn from your past. Even before Christ when you got saved and things that you did and how you acted, learn from those mistakes. The past this morning has already been written. I know there's things in my past that I'm not proud of. I'm looking more forward to my future this morning than my past as we sing about meeting Jesus. But nonetheless, we see Matthew writing taxes. Number two this morning, I want to say, when it comes to Matthew's pen, we see Matthew writing his testimony. Verse number 9 is the actual testimony written by Matthew. Matthew literally is writing down his salvation experience. It's the book of Matthew. Read verse. Listen to verse number 9 again. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew. This got me this week. This is Matthew writing down his own experience. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, talking about himself, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Matthew literally here is writing down his salvation experience. Now, can you imagine this? Imagine this with me. How Matthew must have felt in the emotions that must have been stirred up within his heart and mind as he wrote about himself getting saved. Can you imagine as he was writing about the man with the palsy that Jesus healed? If you go back and you read these verses, verse number 1 down through verse number 9 or to verse number 9, you'll find out that it wasn't about Matthew. It was about this man who had a type of palsy in verse 2. He was sick of the palsy and lying on a bed. And we know he was brought to Jesus and we know that he was healed. So for just a moment, just picture in your mind this man Matthew as he is writing about this other person's experience. Oh, there was a man who was sick of the palsy, and he was taken to Jesus to be healed. You can feel almost within the heart of Matthew and the mindset of Matthew, and along with his testimony in verse number 9, you can sense and feel that something is building personally. So he tells of the sick man, he tells of his healing, but then he gets to verse number 9. And Matthew is not telling someone else's story. Matthew is now telling his story. And I can just imagine Matthew writing that pen. He's done talking about the sick man. And now he says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew. And Matthew, he's no longer, well, he's a tax collector, but his life's about to change. And he is pinning down, after conversion, this testimony of himself sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Wow, what emotion. What emotion we see and could possibly comprehend when Matthew wrote his own testimony. It's one thing telling what God has done for this one over here. It's something else telling what God has done for that one over there. But I want to say this morning, I have my own testimony. And you have your own testimony. And while we praise the Lord for touching others and touching this one and touching that one this morning, I don't need anybody to praise the Lord for me. I can praise the Lord myself for how God has touched me. And how the Lord has changed my life. And how God is continually changing lives today. We see Matthew writing his testimony. He goes down through the lame man and talks about his miracle. And then his own. Let me go a step further and say this in verse number 9. I want you to notice that Jesus saw Matthew. Matthew didn't see Jesus. Verse number 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew. Matthew could have been arrogant in his writings. Of course, we know they're God-inspired, so it was impossible. But he could have been arrogant and said, I got my life right. He could have said that, you know, something great happened to me and I'm no longer crooked. You know, I'm just a good man now. No. Matthew, we see humility in his testimony because he said there was someone else that had their eye on me. I could not see them. I was crooked and I was collecting taxes and extorting people. But Jesus had his eye on me. Aren't you glad that pre-Christ conversion days, that when we weren't seeking Him and looking for Him, that He was looking for us? I'm glad that while He was on the cross, we were on His mind. Romans 5:8. Let me say something else about Jesus seeing Matthew here. Two things that Jesus saw when He saw Matthew. Number one, He saw Matthew for who he was. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. In His testimony, He didn't try to make it pretty. Oh, He mentions the blunders as well. Matthew says, I was there and I was writing those taxes and extorting people. I wasn't looking for God. God, He was looking for me, and He saw me as I was, as a crooked tax collector. And He writes that in His testimony in verse number 9. And so Jesus saw him for what he was. Jesus this morning sees us for who we are. Man looks on the outward. That's why a lot of people try to please man. But God looks on the inward. He looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the stature of a person. He doesn't look at the education of a person. He doesn't care about those things. All He's concerned with this morning is the heart of an individual. That's why God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He chooses the base things of this world. He chooses 12 ignorant and unlearned men, if I could say it that way, to bring the gospel to the world. Matthew didn't see it coming. Jesus saw him for, number one, who he was. But Jesus saw him also for what he was going to be. I just want to say this morning that Matthew had no idea he was going to be a gospel writer. Matthew had no idea before Jesus came and saw him and said, follow me. He had no idea he was going to be an apostle. He would have never chose that lifestyle if it weren't for Jesus. And I want to say this morning that you and I, God always wants to take us to greater heights. And once we're there and we're flying as He wants us to, we cannot believe that we're doing what we are doing. Cannot believe I'm preaching this morning. I cannot believe I'm standing here and with a broken heart and with a filled heart from God, wanting to see lives change. I can't believe God is using me to do that. Or at least I hope He is. Matthew could not see himself doing that until it happened. And so the Lord, when He saw Matthew, He saw for who he was, but He also saw him for what he was going to be. Thank God this morning that Jesus sees who we were. He sees who we are, and He knows what we're going to be and what He wants us to be. He sees that. He initiates that growth. He initiates the desire for ministry, and He initiates the desire to bring God the glory in and through our lives. Philippians says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You remember Gideon, when he was over there in the wine press threshing wheat, and the Midianites were in the land. You've heard the story. But they were stealing all of the resources. They were besieging the land. And Gideon said, let me creep over here and thresh this wheat on the side of the hill, store up for my family, the enemies in the land. Gideon wasn't in open fields. He wasn't charging like Braveheart. Ah! Bow and arrows and swinging from vines and he wasn't doing none of that. Gideon was, he was in seclusion. He was off of the front line. He was doing what he felt he needed to do at the time when the enemy was in the land. But the Lord showed up and said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. He called Gideon a mighty man. This has forever stuck with me. And I repeat it often. I think about it often. And it's this, that Gideon didn't view himself a mighty man. God did. God did. Church, if we can just get a hold of that simple truth that Jesus sees so much in you. He wants to use you. He loves you. And if we just trust Him, we cannot fail. He saw something in Gideon, and really, he saw his own might in Gideon. God's might in Gideon. He's seen that. God knew that Gideon could be a mighty man if he went in the power and enablement of Jesus, of God. Back to Matthew 9, verse number 9. We see that Matthew was writing his testimony. He said that Jesus saw him, and he saw him sitting at the receipt of customs. He saw me as I was, but then he saw me for what I was going to be. That was an apostle, a gospel writer. This morning, when it comes to Matthew's pen, you'll find that Matthew's pen is always moving. It went from writing taxes to writing his testimony. And then lastly this morning, not a long sermon, but Matthew writing texts. We know that Matthew was the writer of the book of Matthew, and this was a text that he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we know that because of Matthew's writings, we can view a side of the Lord in his ministry. And so Matthew goes from writing receipts at customs to writing scripture for God. We have the gospel according to Matthew this morning. Let me say this about Matthew. Matthew, in his gospel that he wrote, it gives a picture of Christ as king. And it also, it has the picture that of a lion. Matthew's gospel pictures a lion and presents Christ as king. Mark's gospel, it pictures Christ as an ox. There's four animals, or three animals in one human. Mark's gospel pictures Christ as an ox. And we know in the book of Mark, he is that servant who is working and serving. And so Mark's gospel picks Christ as an ox. Luke's gospel pictures a Christ as man. There's that man figure. He is the Son of Man in the gospel of Luke. But then in the gospel of John, John pictures and gives the picture of the animal, the eagle, being the Son of God in the book of John. And so we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew is writing these texts being guided by God. And he's picturing him as a king, as a lion. Matthew, in his gospel, it records everything that he sees and hears of the life of Christ and his ministry. The miracles he witnesses, the instruction he receives, the storms he goes through and encounters. There's the garden scene Matthew writes about, the cross Matthew writes about, the resurrection he writes about, the Great Commission he writes about. Matthew was used, and he was a part of something very great in his life. He was used mightily by God and because of God. That was Matthew's future. What's your life writing this morning? You see, Matthew was a part of something great and was used mightily by God because of God. The past of Matthew was written and it was bleak, but the future of Matthew was bright and beautiful, all because of the Lord and what he did in his life. He saw him, and he called him. And Matthew's pen began to write. No longer taxes. But now, testimony and texts. Let me ask this question this morning. What is your life? What is your life this morning? How are you writing your life? Is the Lord writing your story? Psalm chapter number 90 in verse number 9. The Bible says in the latter part of that verse, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Psalm 45 in verse number 1, David says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. The question is this morning, what story are you writing with your life? Those watching on Facebook, what story are you writing with your life? It can be a story like Matthew's, where you've made past mistakes and those things are written and they cannot be erased. But you have a present moment right now. If you allow the Lord, He can rewrite your story. And I pray that you'll let Him do that. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. We were brief this morning, Lord, but I feel that was the message for this hour. As we give the invitation, I pray that someone needs to come, they'll come. Whatever happens today, Lord, we'll give You praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet as we give the invitation. If you need to come, you come.
Just as I am without one.
Are there others this morning? The invitation is for all in all situations. Don't put the Lord off. If you need to come, you come.
Just as I am and waiting to rid my soul.
You may want to come and praise the Lord. Any and all cases. Continuing to sing while these are here. Come on down.
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome and cleanse me.
We serve a good God who's faithful and just and true. If you feel you need to come, you come. Facebook watchers, the message is for you. Continuing to sing, it's a beautiful thing. Others are praying.
Just as I am
just take a moment and play softly while these are praying. I encourage the church to, as these are praying, to just remember our service tonight and those that are getting ordained. This very serious thing. It's a wonderful thing, and we're excited. Just give another minute or two. Brother Don Nettles, I believe we have a love offering to take up, and we're going to change the service at this point, and thank you for listening to the message. I hope it was a help and a blessing, and it's amazing the things that you'll find in God's Word that are right on the surface, and we appreciate each and every one of you, and I'm thinking, you know, Brother Don, just stand right there, I guess. Brother Don, you just stay back there. All right. That's all right. Come on down. Okay. We're going to be, again, collecting, if you can, that is, just for expenses on our outdoor fellowships, and so you just give according to how the Lord has nudged you to give. Father, we thank you again for your goodness, your love, mercy, and kindness. Thank you for who you are, for what you do. Bless this love offering for our outdoor ministry. Thank you, Lord, for such generous givers here at Calvary. Some have already given, and thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that we would give it as we're given unto you for this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.